And I thought, there is so very much of that. News that's not good. News that makes us heavy. News that we would rather hold off as long as we can without having to get. It's like that in the world. There's a passage in the book of Isaiah that I like to read. In Isaiah's prayers tonight. We're not here on vacation. When we come to that, although I could enjoy myself just being around the saints, there's so much to do in the vineyard of the Lord. And we want to know where He wants us and where we can be best used. The 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah, one verse, verse 22. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. That's bad news too. That's news we'd rather not hear, have to deal with. But it's like that. I remember when I was in the military service, there was a man that worked in the office, and he had access to every communication. And he seemed to get a special pleasure out of delivering bad news. And it wasn't long before his presence began to be associated with bad news. In fact, most all of the men called him bad news. He'd tell things like, well, you're going to be stationed in one of the undesirable places. That'd be bad news for somebody. He had other kind of news. Shocking things to tell different ones. About trouble at home. You get a bad letter. He just seemed to feed on that. Well, may the Lord help us tonight. This world we live in. If we're looking unto the earth, if we're looking for an uplift by merely observing the things about us, it's going to be bad news all the time. If we're looking to a political administration to help us out, it's going to be bad news there too. Oh Lord, help us. The writer here, the thoughts that we are looking at, he says, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they should be driven to darkness. There's some cause for rejoicing after recent developments that we've heard about the seemingly change, and I put that in quote in parenthesis, of the attitude of the communist nations. And there are many folks that are just elated about that. That's good news, they say. If you're looking to the earth, if you're looking around for political leaders to give us the answers we need, it's going to ultimately be bad news. Good news, they say. Look what's happening now all around us. Things are going to be different. We'll be able to travel. There may be some good things that have come out of all of that. But overall, and ultimately, and finally, is it going to give to man what he really needs? Is this really going to be the rise of the age of brotherhood, and laying aside our weapons, and everybody just forgetting about all the differences and all the troubles, and just saying, peace, 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 and safety? God help us. Is it really going to be the way it's going to happen now? I rather doubt it. I don't want to be seen as one that is a messenger of bad news, the bearer of bad news. It's amazing how the information that's conveyed begins to connect in a way to the bearer of the tidings. That man that worked, the airman that worked in the office, brought all those disastrous reports. Somebody's parents died, and somebody's wife ran off, and all those kind of things he'd bring. and saw that picture was painted on him. And if I were him, I'd want to do everything I could do to get out from under that kind of shadow. There, bad news. But the Word of God gives us another picture that I'd like for us to focus on.
Amen.
It talks about beautiful feet. Feet that bear good tidings. Feet that bear a message that is going to benefit everyone.
Amen.
Oh, I want to be identified among that group that are there with good tidings. Good things. Things that will help us tonight to look up with hope. To look up with an assurance that it is something better than what we now experience and see all about it. Oh, we're thinking about this. Good tidings of good news, the precious reports from heaven to our souls. And we want to read a little tonight and ask the Lord's help and blessing as we look in the Word of God for something for our souls, something to help us out. Maybe someone here tonight that has come with a real need and a real burden. And I know there is something that takes place in the world and among those who would exploit and take advantage. And in an audience like this, they might surmise and say, somebody here tonight got problems. And with a crowd of this size, no doubt, there are a number here that have problems. And yet, another way that is exploited might be saying a crowd of this number, that somebody here tonight, it will soon face sudden tragedy. And all that can kind of play and deceive and mislead folks. But I want you to know tonight that there is one who is in touch with your need, who is in touch with your problem, and is able to communicate and touch your heart and speak to you in a way that you know that this is something for you. Praise the Lord. And Jesus met a woman one time and began to converse with her at the well, and on down in the conversation he asked her several questions. And finally, through all of that, it got down to a point that the woman was just taken by his ability to perceive her problems and her needs and to offer her the solution. One thing about Jesus, not only is he able to discern and perceive your problem and to spell it out in tones and ways that are so clear and distinguishable, but he also gives you the answer of what to do about it. Oh, listen, we're happy about that kind of news. Amen. I'm amazed. I run into folks that will tell you, yes, I got a lot of problems, and finally that's about as far as we get, and they still have the problem, but there's one tonight. To meet you right at the point of your need and minister to you and help you and lift the load and guide you to a better situation than you've ever experienced in your lifetime. God help us. Go on, read and help us a little tonight. Proverbs 25 and 25. We want to look at some encouraging things tonight. Out on the horizon from the Word of God. Something for our souls. You get that, just read it out loud and clear for us, please. Praise the Lord. Good news. It's a good news. And it's going to be something to refresh us and help us. Something that will bless us. Isaiah 61 now. I want to read it in here. The first two verses of Isaiah 61. So we'll get that and read those for us. We're thinking about something that's going to refresh us and bless us and help us and lift us by the help, power, and grace of God.
He's
wanting to help us tonight. Praise the Lord.
Spirit of the Lord God is upon me,
yes.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
Yes.
He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted,
mm-hmm.
to proclaim liberty to the captive,
yes.
and the opening of the prison to them that are bound,
mm-hmm.
to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn.
Well, let's rest right here. There are several areas covered here. Several areas. We want to try to look at somebody help the Lord. First of all, the Spirit of the Lord God. Anoint is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And it asks the question, who are the meek? The meek in this earth. One of the highest illustrations of a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, his meekness.
Amen.
So here we have good tidings to the meek. Praise the Lord. Something for those that are following the Lord. Maybe tonight, tempted and blasted on this side and that side. And maybe troubles on the horizon. But there's good tidings here to the meek.
Amen.
And we're exhorted to continue in the things of God. We're exhorted to go deeper in the things of God. We're exhorted to be steady in the things of God. Good tidings. Be encouraged. The Lord is looking on and is blessing our hand for you and for me. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Broken heart all over the land. Troubles and problems. A broken heart I'm thinking about. Little brokenhearted children.
Yes.
Little children that will never have a reasonable, a happy life. That will never know a place where a home is a unified place and a place where they can grow up in safety and comfort. Their little hearts are broken. But praise God tonight. Bind up broken hearts. Think of the devastation and trouble that follows individuals who came up through this kind of a background, who came up through this kind of privation, not knowing the comfort and love and security. So many tonight are in conditions like this. Never really had a mother's love. Never really had a father that they could know anything about. Never had the kind of communion with brothers and sisters and the sharing one with the other. Oh, good news now. We're talking about one that'll consider all that and reach down in those places and heal them and make us sound and whole and give us a good, steady way that we can go on in life. May the Lord help us now. Oh, I thank God that the work of salvation plows very deep. Deep down into the inner, down in the places where we've blocked out and locked things out, bad experiences, situations that have caused us distress and still trouble us. The work of God will run down in those places, and there He wants to reap with you and commune with you and heal the hurt places and take care of trouble spots and souls tonight that are in trouble, just like them. Things that they have denied and want to lie out and don't want to talk about, but yet have such a profound influence on how we conduct ourselves right now. It's brokenhearted, oh, it goes in other areas. We think about broken hearts, hearts that we never know the fulfillment of a reasonable desire. A broken heart. Broken hearts sometimes are the result of broken promises, broken words. Maybe a word, a promise was given. And you stake everything on that. You believed it. And you went out after it. You gave your earnest. And then it kind of fizzled on you. It didn't materialize. How does that leave a person who's been devastated by promises that cannot be fulfilled? Oh, I want to tell you tonight, I want to encourage you tonight to take it to Jesus.
Oh,
the broken promises and all the vows and things that have trust that have been let down and fall that you never were able to get a fullness. You take it to Jesus. He can heal that place. That's deep in it. That's deep down in a man. That's right down in what causes folks to behave and misbehave in these places of need. Broken heart. God help us. There's so much about broken hearts. May the Lord help us. But Jesus wants to heal and make soothe and just bring to a place of peace every broken heart in the house.
Yes, Lord.
Everyone that suffered at the hands of something that left your heart broken. Praise God. Jesus heals every heart. One of the prophets said, He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new heart. Oh, listen, this is, you know, if you've ever been defrauded, if you've ever been in a position where you were let flat, then you know that kind of place. And what usually rushes in to fill the void is suspicion and doubt and an ability not to trust. It all moves in and it crowds around and you begin to think, now, who can I trust? Since this happened, I want to help you tonight if I can by the grace of God. Put your trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, He'll never let you down.
Amen.
He'll never leave you standing on a promise that He made that He cannot and will not fulfill.
Amen.
Oh, that's challenging.
Yes.
He said, proclaim the good news. Let them know that I can do this. Let them know I'm willing and able to do it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I thought about news. News is something that affects each of us.
Yes.
It is not one of us that isn't interested in news.
That's
right. I'll prove it to you. Sometimes it's evening or tomorrow, you let the news break out. It can be two people discussing something near you. And when you hear them begin to say, did you hear so-and-so, automatically, you start paying attention. And I'm talking to you, it's going to be some news, see. Something's about to be said, and there's a part in us that just craves good news. There's a part in us that longs for good news, see. Praise the Lord. Oh, listen, the Lord is what's that? He wants His Word brought forth and proclaimed. He wants the testimonies to roll.
Yes.
Because there's someone who's hungry and needing to hear what the Lord has done and is doing in your life.
Amen.
Oh, news is it attracts, see? It draws crowds, praise the Lord. Well, I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, the early brethren, they didn't have a Bible. He couldn't say we're taking our text from Isaiah or from John just that way. Maybe it was actually true of you things, but as a whole, they didn't have what we have this method. What they had news, glory to God.
Yes.
They had news of current events. They were telling things that were happening. There were living witnesses. There were people who were being blessed and touched by God. And they were telling it everywhere they go. Oh, listen. Somebody that's in trouble, somebody that's in need, is ripe for some news about being delivered.
Amen.
They're ripe for some news about being set free.
Amen.
I believe there's souls tonight that are ripe for some good news.
Yes.
They're just waiting to hear something that will reach their case.
Amen.
Mention that woman who came there to draw water at the well, and Jesus had some news for her. Amen. It's a good news for her. He's been to that well many times, and this was routine, and just, you know, you do something so often, and it's kind of become, you know, I'm just doing it, I don't even have to think about it. You look at your own shoulder, you put on the well, you're up there, you put water, you put everything, you go home. Well, not this day. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good news!
Yes.
I'm going to give you some water that you will never thirst again, what you say.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
I don't have to turn this thing and lay it on my shoulder and go through all of this anymore. Keep talking.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, but he had news that was deeper than that. He had news that would reach beyond the surface of our lives. Sure, everybody rejoicing here tonight if I say, after this mission, meet out back, we're giving out $100 bills. That's good news, isn't it? There's something on the surface that would jump at that and grab at that. But what about news? There's something God wants to do down in the deep places of your life in healing and delivering and salvation.
Amen.
He wants to do it for you. He wants to break the bonds of sin. He wants to do that on me and set your soul to singing. How many will line up with something like this?
Amen.
Good news, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, she listened a while. Jesus, you talk about a smooth operator. Jesus is smooth.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord. He's smooth, folks.
Yes.
He started talking to her on one level. Then he shifted gears and got to another level. Because we all take message from that.
Yes.
Amen. She got on another level. Then he started asking her questions about her husband.
Yes.
What's that got to do with water? When? You want some of this water? You're going to have to clean up to get it. But it's for you. It's always dealt with the need. He began to deal with her need. He perceived this woman's in trouble. She's not happy. Anybody who's got five companions can't make it with that is not happy.
Amen.
Not happy? Go get your husband, and said to her. And this has been a real truth to me. She didn't sidestep. I don't have a husband. Thank you, lady. And you cut the thing short when you tell the truth.
Amen.
The process can be shortened. The Lord can help you quicker when you're the most honest about your condition.
Amen.
Don't come to an altar and then expect the minister to pump it out of. We don't have a tool that we can use that'll pump it out of you.
Amen.
But all you really are here in the door.
husband.
I don't have a husband.
Well, you've answered truthfully. You want help tonight, deal truthfully. Truthfully. Down deep, this woman had a reputation. She had a, oh, God, help her. This was a woman in trouble. Anyway, on town to town. And finally, he shook gears again.
They got to talking about
where you worship. Where you go to church.
God help.
Good news. Something better than church going here. Something better than that. There's a lot of folks that find the kind of a security in joining some organization and signing a book and shaking a preacher's hand and, they say, and finding a church home. That's on the surface. See? That satisfies the surface of a man. Oh, the surface is satisfied him. And he begins to feel like, I'm all right, see? I'm in the church. My name's on the book. I pay my dues. I have everything that heaven offers. No, you don't. Praise God.
Amen.
Jesus shifted gears again. He went to tell him how she washed here and what she did and her father's did and so forth. And Jesus told her in 4th chapter John. So the hour comes and now is. The Father's looking for true worship.
Amen.
That's the news is. Praise God. He's looking for true worshipers. Good news. I hear folks say, well, the reason I won't come to God yet, I don't want to get saved yet, when I get saved, I'm really going to be true. Well, this is good news for you, isn't it? Because that's what God's looking for.
Amen.
True worshipers. Amen. He has a keen eye. He knows when we really hit the bed. He knows when our hearts are right, folks. He knows when you really mean it. You don't have to strain at an altar and say, Lord, I need it this time. You meet that condition in your heart where you just melt out to Him. Lord, have your way in my heart.
Amen.
I'll follow you everywhere you go. Lord, I'll do what you tell me to do. Lord, I'll be what you want me to be.
That's right.
Yes, you know when you reach that place. To water. Natalie. The woman got so full she forgot she came to get natural water. Guess what happens? Good news is contagious. Good news is contagious. You get a good report, you can't hold it.
Amen.
No matter how hard you try, you're going to tell somebody. That's one of the clearest evidences of a blessing that I know of. When folks are blessed and filled and overflowing, you know it's real when they're willing to tell it and share it with us. Spontaneously. Without being coaxed, without being prompted and primed. I like to see folks come to an altar praying and the tears flow down and they make the resolutions and settle and resolve and, oh God, I love you and I'm going to live. I mean this. And automatically, without prompting of any kind, stop right up and turn around and begin to praise God and thank Him for saving their soul.
Yes, Amen.
They start telling the good news right away.
Yeah.
She left the water pot and all ran into the sea. And what was her message? Come! See a man! Now you might be put out with men, and I can kind of go along with that to a point. But this is different. This is different. Here's a woman that says, come see a man, she got fouled. See? What kind of a witness did she give? See, amen? Come on. But when the work is done, when you really meet the Christ in the saving of your soul, He stands out above all the men you've ever known. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Nothing like it.
Amen.
She ran in town and told the news. That's all she did. She told the news, Brother Kirk.
Amen.
Come on, he's out here. He's out here now. And other folks listen to her. Maybe they get that.
Yes, that's
good. Good news, see. You know, we stop and we read a lot, but news is really telling something. Yeah, we sit here and read. But we want to tell you something, God, help us.
Amen.
We can verify it too, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. John 4, she gives this message that she runs to the city. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot. She filled up now. She came to fill up a water pot, but she got through. Oh, look at this. Filled up. you really meet Christ, you see souls as precious in his eyes. Amen.
God help a few of the men.
Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
What is the difference here?
It was the ability to dig right through and wade right in and touch those tender nerve places where this woman was living.
Yes.
Which is why she could say, he told me everything I ever did. You know, the Lord knows everything about you. Everything you've ever done. Everything. Everything.
Nothing is hidden from him. Come see. This is not this the Christ. This is surely the Christ.
Oh, yeah. What did they think about it?
Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Down to verse 39, continues. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Now who knows my business like that? God help.
Yeah.
Just that way.
So
when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him, and he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus shared the living water, the good news with him.
Good news is refreshing. It's like that cold water. It's coming out of the far country, but it's refreshing the soul. It's blessing my soul.
Good news. Another way to look at good news is good tidings.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, there's some more here in this verse I want to get in Isaiah. There's another little detail in there. Something about prisoners. Anybody got that? Yes. It says,
to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
Yes.
In our way a while back, as a goodwill gesture, it was all in good faith. An effort to unite many families that had been separated, and they got together what they called a marrow boat list. And they decided by this they're going to unite families from Cuba that have been separated and make it very simple for them to be reunited as a family. Well, when Mr. Castro heard this, he said, ha-ha, I got something for this.
You know what he did? He opened up his prison. Sounds good, doesn't it? He opened his asylums up. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Next up, you read in the papers about Miami being the crime capital. This is part of the reason.
Because what he did, he opened his prison door, he opened up his asylum, and every undesirable, and everything he didn't want to deal with any longer, and every bastard case that he knew he couldn't help, he let them go free.
Put them on somebody else. They got on the boat. This thing was supposed to be set up to where some went to New Jersey and some to Ohio and some to New York. But you know where they all finally settled? Back in Miami.
Nobody stayed where they told them to go. They came back to Miami.
And so that's what we have now. So much for opening prison doors and letting captives go free. Well, that's the way it is when man lets them go free.
That's all you have is more trouble, see, but let them go free. It's not the answer either to build more institutions, is it? They're building some new ones. I know about one that's double deck, triple, four, five, quad deck, and all fixed up fancy, and this is to house those kind of folks that are socially objectionable.
Yes, that's right.
And they pack them all in there, and Lord help. Now we hear something about letting captives go free. We're talking about Jesus now in 15 years. When he sets the captive free, when he opens the prison,
when he opens the door, when the soul is freed by Jesus, they are no longer a murderer or a criminal. Well, God, we're not talking about rehabilitation here. That doesn't work. We're talking about reaching down in the deep places of need and darkness and turmoil, inner conflict. Jesus Christ comes to raise and see inside a man's bosom. Oh, God, help us.
Yes,
I've
got a friend like Jesus.
Amen.
Friend, I'll set you free.
Amen.
Friend, I'll set you free. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
I don't want to say that He set me free.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Out of a prison house, too. No,
I didn't have a number. You can't look up on the records and find a picture with a number. I didn't have that kind. You won't find my name in those places. Oh, my name, what's to the sinner
more people! The record was bad! It was dark! I was ashamed of it! Ashamed now! Just remembering it! That's how bad it was! It's a shame to think about it! That's how dark it was! But thank God tonight!
Amen.
The guilt of that is gone! The shame of being in that place! The Lord has come along and set this prisoner free!
Amen.
Tonight by the power of God.
Amen.
By His coming into those inner places and down in those deep secret holes in our lives. You know what a stronghold is? It's a fortified place. Stronghold. It's a place many times that's barricaded and fortified and strengthened. And inside of people's hearts and minds there are strongholds.
Yes.
That's what as it's barricaded and fortified by who knows what kind of material. Folks that are in trouble, that'll say, I know I need to change, and I know I'm not living right, but something's hindering me. I want to tell you the good news that Jesus is able to enter in through that stronghold and bring you out, praise God.
He'll bring you out of that.
He'll lift you out of that. One poet said, oh, praise His dear name.
Amen.
He lifted me out!
And I was held captive in that old miry clay of sin and selfishness and self-life, doing it my own way. He lifted me out!
Amen.
The Lord, the
thank you, God.
And all of that stupid of life of sin, darkness and trouble, turmoil of every kind, unhappiness and grief, Jesus comes along.
You know what the blessing means? And the Lord will soon operate.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll set one prisoner free and set him down in a community. Praise God. Faith of God lives a life. Live a free life. Live a liberated life. Live in the holy plains and realms of God's deliverance.
Amen.
Because there are neighbors on every side that are watching you closely.
And they're daring to hope that's true. You see, their lives are full of skepticism too. They've been burned. They've been disappointed. They've hoped in someone one time that let them down. It's important for you and I who are saved to get the good and have the reality in our own lives.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Prison house and captive.
Oh, Lord, this is a picture tonight. Someone that's a captive is one that has been taken, most likely involved in an attempt to be free, but taken captive. Maybe striving for a just cause, but taken captive. Maybe wanting to live a very decent and upright life, but caught up by the things of this world. Taken captive by them. It doesn't happen overnight. It is progressive that one finds themselves captivated. Bound, hand and foot, caught up in things that from time to time, just getting a little glimpse of them causes a cold shiver to go down your own back. Can this be me living like this? Can this be me living this way? Maybe that woman, she thought about it. Oh, another man. Here, how can I keep doing this? Captain, see? God came to set her free. Come to set the captive free. It doesn't matter. It matters not what binds us and holds us. It's no effort on Christ's part to break the chains of time and to set us free. Lord wants to do that tonight. He's able to do it. Amen. And that boat lift has created a lot of problems down in Miami when it brought out the, you could say it this way, some of the elite of the underworld. Now operating out of Miami. But oh, if they'd ever meet Jesus, you'd see a difference. Oh, what a difference. When you're set free by Castro is one thing, but when you're set free by Jesus, there's no comparison. No comparison. Him that stole, steals no
anymore. Your line stops, glory to God.
Amen.
I'm set free. It's no wonder there's great joy. No wonder there's great joy in these parts tonight. It's joy to my soul. Opening of prison to them that are bound to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's go over in the book of Luke and get this together. Hey, Luke brings out a few more things that we are trusting the Spirit of God,
yes,
to penetrate tonight. You know, I thought about this, and it's a marvel, and I'm so thankful that the Lord is able to penetrate our defenses, and He's able to just crush on through and get on through the places that we've fortified and reasons that we hold out on. And I want you to know tonight it's mercy when the Lord will reveal Himself and convict us of a part, a place in our lives. It's mercy when the Lord shows us the way we're going is wrong. It's mercy when the Lord visits you and knocks on your heart's door as a figure and lets you know, I'd like to come in. I'd like to sup with you a while. Give me that place. Give me that place there that's troubling you so much. You'd be free.
Yes,
fourth chapter of Luke, 16th verse. A little more description here. You got to just read, start reading somewhere.
And he came to Nazareth,
okay,
where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And stood up for the reading.
He's reading, keep going.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
And when he had opened the book and found the place where it was written,
yeah,
the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.
Hold it right here. Isaiah spoke about to the meek. Now, Luke is saying to the poor.
Yes.
To the poor. Who feels in more of a pitiful condition than the poor? I think about this often. And that could be a relative thought, poor, you know, depending on, you got people like Donald Trump that he's poor, they're taking all his money. But I really believe that this poor are the deprived. This poor are the ones that are living in a place of hopelessness. I can never rise any higher, so what's the use? I'm poor. What's poor? If anyone needs a lift or needs help tonight, it's someone that's in a destitute place. It's someone that's in a situation that it seems no matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, no matter how good I want to be, it never works out. Poor. Oh, poor soul. God help us. God's answer to this. His answer is to preach the gospel to the poor. Good news. Give the poor good news. Glory to God. Oh, I'm convinced more and more that there will be changes. There are changes wrought when souls gain hope in Christ.
Amen.
They lift themselves up off the welfare rosters and all the aid programs just with hope from Christ.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
The poor need to hear the gospel. There's a frame and a mentality that people get in when you pet them and bait them and carry them and keep them steeped in ignorance and darkness. Preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
Lord, help us. Oh, God, help us all. Preach the gospel to the poor. I had some folks got upset with me one time. And I told them that Jesus was far greater than the food stamp program. Jesus is far greater than WIC coupon. Woo!
Yeah.
They got upset with me. But I'm going to tell you why I said, based on the testimony of God. He said, I've been young.
Yes.
Now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Amen.
Nor his seed begging bread. These systems tend to keep your seed begging bread.
Yes.
God help us now. Yes. Preach the gospel to the poor.
Amen.
Set them at liberty. Oh, Lord, help us. Change the mentality. Oh, Lord, well, I didn't go too good, but I still believe with all my heart. I'm seeing the results of it. I'm seeing the Lord open doors and make way.
when Saul began to look to him and not to man. Sorry. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not to the government. Amen. Preach the gospel to the poor. Oh, what a burden this thing is. And the level and the mentality and the sin that it feeds. God help us now. Feed sin. Folks get in a frame if things change for them. They're so used to having it doled out to them their life. This thing's got to tell the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus wants to lift us up and out. That's another one of those miry gifts. Welfare. God help us now. Oh, listen. Jesus came to break the bond. Listen now. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captive. Let me tell you about deliverance. There was a brother that the Lord delivered from strong drink. Deliverance. And I heard this testimony coming from another brother, who at the time was not a brother, but heard about a man who had been delivered from strong drink. Praise God. He said he'd been to every kind of church and every kind of place looking for help, but never could get the real help. And the way he ran into this brother that God had delivered from strong drink, he was around Christmas time and the boss was giving out his fifth of liquor to the employees. This one brother, he offered it to him, Merry Christmas. The brother said, praise God, I've been delivered from that. Well, this man heard good news. He needed to be delivered. And he hadn't met anybody that had been delivered. He didn't know anybody that had been delivered. So he told how he arranged to meet this brother. How he stalked him and followed him and watched him and finally got to meet him. Asked him all kinds of questions over this and about that and about the other. Followed him to worship service. And became convinced he was delivered. Good news! There are living witnesses that have been delivered from strong drink.
Amen.
You can be delivered too.
Amen.
Praise God, delivered from it. No, not the 10 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Amen. But delivered. The power unfettered. The bondage of it forever broken.
Amen.
By Jesus Christ. Put it down and set it down on the floor. Praise the Lord. You have to remember over and over again what an alcoholic I am. No, I was. Jesus from the Lord, I was. Good news, didn't it? Oh, it may not sound like much to you who never had any alcohol, but to those that are in the clutches of it, to those who want out of it, to those who have tried to be free from it. Good news!
Yes.
Jesus delivered from the power of the sin.
Amen.
To the point that you no longer desire it. Amen. There was a time he had such a bondage just to give the snap of a cap. Glands started getting away.
Amen.
That thing had it. Nothing, didn't it? Just heard it go. Another cool one opened up. The Lord of Jesus came along. By his blood. Come unto me, I'll give you that. I'll free you from that.
Amen.
Oh, thank God he doesn't stop there. Just free you from that and leave. You're not fully done just being free from strong drink. You're not fully done until you're saved from the power of sin.
Amen.
The Lord just specializes and deals with those special places, but he wants to make us whole. Entire and complete. He's able to do it. Oh, that's an occasion of great joy. I remember the night my father was saved. I was a small boy. But I remember it very well because I watched him go to the altar. I watched my father kneel down and pray, and others were praying with him. I saw him get up with tears, weeping, rejoicing about being saved. And I hit the side door of the church and ran home as fast as I could run home to tell mother what had happened to my father. Oh, mother. Daddy goes to cry and say, I saw it. I was able to experience that. I never knew a lot as a boy, but looking back and studying it out, I remember how my father used to live. See?
Yeah.
I remember the kind of music he used to listen to. I remember he started cleaning house. I'm talking some good news here.
Amen.
He got rid of all those. I'm going way back now. A little Louis Jordan record.
Where? He got rid of all of that.
Yeah.
All his little wine. He got rid of his wine and his beer.
Yeah.
He started reading the word and exhorting us to live for God. What a shame. The news, hallelujah.
Amen.
My brother's saved now. We're living better than we ever live now. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
This is good news.
Amen.
Oh, our home's going to be better now.
Amen.
Jesus is coming to the head of the home. The head's in here tonight.
Amen.
You want to take your place that God has ordained you to take? You need to be fully delivered from the power of sin to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen to what he said. A part of this proclamation is to preach deliverance to the captive. Deliverance. I want you to dwell on that word, deliver. Deliver. There are folks that pass by the altar and they do not get delivered.
Yeah.
You come to a meeting like this, and let me tell you something, you're going to be seeking the Lord and want some help. You come to a meeting like this, get your mind off of the people who are here. You want to be delivered, think about your need before the great deliverer.
Amen.
I just want to give a chapter.
Yeah.
Don't see black children, kin folks. I'm running for my life now.
Yeah.
I must be delivered tonight.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Deliverance. When you get at this altar.
Yes, Lord.
God help.
Yeah.
So many, many times, altars fill up with folks that don't get delivered. You're going to get help. You're going to get help being around the saints. You're going to feel better after this service. Well, you pray it up. Because that's one of the benefits of the overflow of being in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
For a while, you're protected. You're covered. See, it's not like a child up to a certain age is covered under mother and dad. And then I'm speaking of an insurance cover, see. They say they're under mother and dad, but after a while, they have to get their own cover.
Right.
See. While you're around the saints, you're pretty well covered. Got Bible for that. The ship was sinking and falling to pieces, and Paul told everybody on the ship, "Don't worry! I'm on here!
Yes.
And you all will reap the benefits of that! I'm on the God! And He's protecting me! So while you're with me, you're protected temporarily!
Yes.
But when I leave you, you better get some cover! So as long as you're on these grounds, you're temporarily covered.
Yes.
But you better get your own cover.
Thank
you,
Lord.
All folks come here and don't get delivered, they just bask under the temporary covering. Year after year, temporary covering. Get your own heart.
Amen.
That you can wave in the devil's face. Devil, I'm covered. Got a lifetime heart. I'm covered, devil.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ has covered me.
Amen.
You can leave here delivered.
Lord.
Folks wonder what the letdown is at the camp meeting. I'm going to tell you what it is. You got them under the temporary cover. That's what the letdown is. Y'all so good on the ground. Monday morning after, woo. You was a temporary cover.
Yes.
Now, if you got delivered, Monday morning you'd still be singing bright as day.
Yes.
How sweet it dawn.
Yes.
Oh, the glory moved inside.
Yes.
My cloudy day is
morning.
I'm walking in the light.
Amen.
Deliverance. For one thing that burdens me, in dealing with precious souls, is that we get delivered. But after all the amens are said, after the benediction, when the lights go out, oh glory, is the light still shining in your soul? Praise the Lord. Got Bible for us. Remember that unit going along the way there? Trying to unravel, and looking, reading, trying to get hold. The Lord sent the preacher to him. Join thyself to him, good man.
Yeah.
God hooked up with him, preached to him. Told him the good news, that's all he did. He proclaimed deliverance. He proclaimed deliverance. Sight to the blind. This is what you want.
Amen.
You said, what's the end of me? I mean, I'll have to go through that. We usually wait till Saturday. He'd be all right starting to dump his people right now. Night one.
Yes.
Fill that thing up and keep it ready. But the Lord didn't keep up at all. There are several folks baptized. Why? Because I heard the good news and I want to go all the way. We're talking about deliverance. Going all the way for the deliverance. Don't leave here just to around is coming, folks.
Amen.
Amen. Prayers have been prayed. Your name, no doubt, has been called. That's why you're at this meeting. You are not saved. Loved ones have prayed for you. Put your name on a paper somewhere. The saint has cried out, Lord, put it in his heart to come. And here you are. You don't even know what's happening fully, but the Lord's dealing with your heart. He wants to save you. Good news is. That unit. Ask what is hidden, and you believe with all your heart. You know, I like to keep it simple. We get so, Lord help us preach. You got to spend a lot of time studying for a sermon, but if you deliver the message, that's so simple. Will the sermon make it the sermon? Make all the words right? No, I rather than just got a message. I'm telling you what he told me to say. Take it up with you. Yes, he wants to deliver you, believe it. Praise God, you have.
Amen.
That's proof that the word here left, folks still need not deliver. One thing about Jesus, if you have the need, and your soul is hungry, and you're thirsty, and you're blind, you're tired of groping in the dark, believe the Lord and be delivered.
Amen.
Doesn't take all night.
Amen.
You get saved, doesn't take all night long to get saved.
That's right.
He's delivered. He said so. Proclaim it. Preach it. Bring these good tidings. Lift the people. Listen, recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. There's a lot of ways to be bruised. One thing about a literal bruise is a deep hurt.
Yeah.
Difficult to heal, folks. A bruise is something that can give you trouble, start raining, get real damp, where you were hurt, and hurt all over again. There's conditions that can happen to people in their lifetime, happen way back over here, but get a climate close to that, and they start reacting all over again as if it's happening again.
Yeah.
Those individuals that have been bruised. A lot of times in our congregation, because souls are not delivered, they get in a climate that's similar to problems they had in sin, and they get caught up again. When we're delivered, you'll get caught up again. The devil can come any way he wants to come. I'm delivered. I'm free from that. Praise God. God's tearing the congregation up. Only those that are not delivered.
Amen.
That's all the ones that get moved and shaken. Those not delivered. Those that are delivered and under the blood don't move.
Amen.
You want to get me disturbed, you start letting real pillars and established folks start moving. And I get concerned.
Yeah.
Those that have been delivered aren't interested in getting back into the condition they came out of.
Amen.
That's one of the incentives to stay free. Don't return to my mom.
Amen.
You? I want to get back in the pig pen and roll over a few times.
Oh, yes, I remember.
I don't want that.
Amen.
I'm free from that.
Amen.
I mean to stay free from the pig pen.
That's right.
Hey. Jesus delivered me. Glory to God. I appreciate something I heard. Jesus delivered my soul. I gave him my heart. Lord, now I'm going to love you alone. I want to say this tonight because no doubt their souls have never thought of it this way, but our deliverance also depends on our loving the Lord. Loving him. It's a goal to love the Lord thy God. To love him, to make him the center and central figure of your affection and desire. The Lord. And then he goes on and says, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it again to the ministry and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, listen to what he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Oh, they've read it over and over again. They've heard it read time and time again. And now, this time, it's fulfilled. It's here. Deliverance is here. Oh, my God, help me. I'm thinking about souls. There are examples in the Word of God. Souls were bound by Satan. Didn't matter what method he uses, but there are souls today that are bound and
Jesus comes forth to break that binding place and set you free to deliver. My prayer and hope tonight is that this has been good news for someone. One more verse I want to read. This is great joy. This proclamation ought to be heralded everywhere. I believe as the people of the saints of God, let us pray, be more prayerful, that we would be bearers of good tidings. Bearers of good tidings. You come across someone that's got a need, that's in trouble, and never once lift before them the flames of Jesus Christ in the very crisis day. They need to hear good news.
Amen.
They need to hear there's a way out of this thing. By the power of God, there's a way out. Well, we just a little here. Sorry. Well, verse 7 on down. It says, she brought forth the firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. They were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, fear not, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And on and on, you'll find it here, the rest of the way, and so forth. But this is what I want us to get. Good tidings. Great joy. If there is nothing like the joy that Jesus gives, oh, I know when we're out in the world of sin, the most we can possibly do is have a little fun. We never had joy. Joy is deeper. It's something deeper in my mind. Joy is something that I experience because of a change in my heart's condition. It's not contingent on outer circumstances. It's not contingent upon a group believing what I believe. See? Praise God, is what I'm talking about. You can stand out in a crowd of skeptics and just smile and rejoice because you're delivered.
Amen.
You're free. It's not dependent on a consensus.
Amen.
Others see this, it must be good. That's surface, folks. You're not going deep enough if you're only connecting with a group. There's deliverance in Christ tonight. There's great joy to know my sins are gone and my soul is clear. And when I leave this world, I'm going to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Now come on and get what you need. Deal truthfully and honest.